Based on a report from approximately 11.5 million rentals in the United States, 89% of tenants paid either partial or full payments towards their rent in the month of April of this year. However, with over 17 million unemployment claims over the past month or so, the question of whether or not May's rent goes unpaid is still looming large, and landlords across the United States are asking questions about what options they may have at their disposal. In this podcast, we'll cover a quick question and answer session that the National Landlord Association had with a Utah-based lawyer who specializes in landlord law, fair housing, and property management to get his take on some of the most popular questions landlords have right now and hopefully provide you with some answers to your most pressing questions. Stay tuned, and we'll get started in just a minute. Hi everybody, my name is Chris, and I want to thank you for joining us for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. If you want to be a more informed, better educated, and successful landlord, then stay tuned. With over a decade of property management experience, we bring you short and sweet, bite-sized pieces of incredibly valuable property management tidbits in 15 minutes or less. Recently, the National Landlord Association took a few of the questions that a lot of landlords have had across the United States, and they asked them of Kirk Collimore, who is a Utah-based lawyer who specializes in landlord law, fair housing, and property management. And it was just a quick sit-down, question-answer session, and there's a few questions here. I believe we have a total of four questions that were asked that we wanted to cover here on this podcast that I believe are relevant to what a lot of landlords are experiencing today and will continue to experience going into the month of May, which is a huge question mark month just because of the sheer number of unemployment claims over the past 30 to 45 days. And so without further ado, we do try to keep these podcasts under 15 minutes because we know you have a busy schedule. And so you don't want to spend your entire day listening to a podcast. So we'll jump right in with the first question and get this rolling. The first question that they asked was, as a housing provider, what is the best course of action if a tenant must defer rent but my mortgage is still due? This is a pretty common question because a lot of landlords, their mortgages are not deferred. They don't have options for their mortgage being delayed. It's still due when it's due. And but there's a lot of tenants that have lost their jobs or have reduced hours, and so they're not able to pay rent as they normally would by the first or fourth or whatever the date is for your lease. And so Kirk's answer to this one was, this has to be determined on a case-by-case basis. However, the CARES Act does provide opportunities for mortgage deferrals if the mortgages are backed by Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. Additionally, a lot of other mortgage services or servicers or providers are offering deferral programs, but he did issue a word of caution. He said, you need to be careful because many of the deferral programs, they only allow you to defer your mortgage payment for a month to 3 months. And then however many months you deferred, those months are all due at the end of the deferral period. So for instance, if you defer three payments, meaning 3 months, at the end of those 3 months, all 3 months are due. And so it's really not something that's necessarily helping people per se. So it's just something to be aware of for your particular situation. Also, he did indicate that typically in these cases, interest will continue to accrue on the principal balance of your mortgage during any deferral periods that you are given, regardless of what format that deferral period comes in. The second question was, in a deferment plan, in a rent deferment plan, is it better to spread a missed payment out over a few months or just require the missed payment at the end of the lease term? And Kirk's response to that was this: this is definitely a business decision that should be made for each individual business. I would recommend requiring the payment to be spread out over just an additional month or two. Many residents will be eligible for the stimulus checks under the CARES Act, increased unemployment benefits under the CARES Act, or other subsidies, grants, or charities under these unique circumstances. As many of these benefits will be received over the next several weeks, a housing provider should also expect to be made whole as quickly as possible while still providing leniency as the circumstances may require. So in other words, you want to try to recoup your loss as quickly as possible. So if you do have to defer a payment, not to do it over too many months, try to recoup it as quickly as possible because people are receiving assistance of one type or another in many cases. Again, but this is something that should be on a case-by-case basis. The third question is, can a housing provider use a security deposit for missed rent payments? And can the housing provider then require the resident to replenish the security deposit? Now, keep in mind, these answers are from Kirk, who is a lawyer based out of Utah. And so some of these answers may not exactly be applicable to you depending on your state and your laws in your region. But in his case in Utah, his response was, yes, security deposits can usually be used for missed rent payments. You should review your lease agreement, though, to ensure you are allowed to use the security deposit for rent during the actual lease term. Meaning, if a tenant moves out and does not finish their lease, for instance, in the state of Texas, you can keep the deposit and apply it to any outstanding rent that is owed that the tenant did not pay for during the term of the lease. And so that's what he's saying here, is that you need to really review the lease agreement, because if the lease is still in effect during the actual lease term, the lease hasn't been terminated or broken, there may not be an allowance for you to use the security deposit while the lease is still in effect. So you will, even if you are in a state where you're allowed to use the security deposit to be applied towards a rent balance or a missed rent payment, you need to check the verbiage of your lease to make sure that your lease also allows for that, so that you don't get into any trouble there. He goes on to say that this may be a good idea to help housing providers get working capital right away. You can then make the deferral agreement or other agreements to have the resident replenish the security deposit over the next several weeks or months. You still cannot post notices or start evictions for failure to replenish the security deposit amount within the moratorium period. So again, basically he's saying here, even if you are allowed to do that, you don't want the deposit to just be eaten up and then it goes away and there's no security deposit on file, because then you have nothing if something happens down the road. And so it is important, if you are able to do that, your region allows you to do it, the laws in your area and the lease allows you to do it, then once you do apply it towards a missed rent payment or outstanding rent, you want that deposit, that security deposit, to be replenished back into the escrow account and to have that on file per the lease. The fourth and last question was, is COVID-19 or any of the economic fallout from the pandemic cause to terminate a lease? And Kirk's response was, nothing related to COVID-19 in and of itself provides a contractual or legal basis for a resident to be released from their lease. There may be unique or extenuating circumstances that a housing provider may want to consider for a resident. In certain scenarios, it may make sense for a housing provider to offer lease buyout options or to early termination options. Keep in mind, reasonable accommodations for disabled individuals under fair housing laws may require other considerations still. You should consult with legal counsel if a reasonable accommodation request is made. And so, in other words, in short, there's really nothing in and of itself of COVID-19 that there's contractually or a contractual legal basis for a lease to be terminated. So the short answer to that is no. There are case-by-case scenarios where this may be the case, or reasonable accommodations might be requested, which might be out of the ordinary. And in those cases, his recommendation is that you consult with a legal counsel in your area who knows and is familiar with the laws in your region to make sure you don't make any missteps there, because those reasonable accommodation requests are something that you have to tread lightly with. So again, this was a conversation that the National Landlord Association had with a Utah-based lawyer who specializes in landlord law, fair housing, and property management. And his name is Kirk Collimore. And you can find the article for reference if you go on to nationallandlordassociation.org and check that article out. It's one of their recent publications on there. And we believe that this information is really covers a lot of the questions that a lot of landlords have been asking. And again, this is Utah-based law, so you will definitely want to check your region, your state, to make sure that these answers are applicable to you. And hopefully it gives you some clarity going forward. As always, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this Tenant Cloud podcast. We hope that you have found value in the time that you've spent listening to it. And if so, feel free to share this episode with any friends, colleagues, or family members who you believe may benefit from the information that we have discussed. You can also read our blogs at tenantcloud.com/blog or listen to our podcasts on any podcast platform such as Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or even on the YouTube channel for Tenant Cloud, where you'll also find full system demos, webinars, and other media content. Thanks again for listening, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.